finding pregnancy support you can trust is worth celebrating. Getting it on sale is worth belting Beyonce in your car. That's right. Ritual's Black Friday sale is on. Support your body's new nutrient needs with their clinically backed prenatal multivitamin. Or give back to your gut with Natal Biotic, a probiotic supplement for trying, pregnancy, and postpartum to support digestive, vaginal, and baby's immune health. At Ritual, quality is top priority. All of their supplements are clean, third-party tested for heavy metals, and 100% made traceable. Because you deserve high-quality support at every stage of your pregnancy journey. Cut prices without cutting corners and get their best savings on their best supplements with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, a columnist at The Hill and Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment on the recovery, the uncertainty, the road ahead. We begin in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, except not really in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, because within days of the meeting of the Federal Reserve Board and other distinguished commentators on the American economy, they changed it back to a virtual meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And because of the COVID-19, because of the Delta variant, the Federal Reserve made remarks that are positive, but with that very careful detail that we're not sure where Delta's taking us. Liz, a very good evening to you. For months, you have reported to this audience that the economy is recovering, but, and the but usually then proceeds to mention the pandemic, the vaccine, the mixed numbers we get from China, from our overseas trading partners. All that uncertainty came together for me when they called off the real meeting of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and went to virtual. So what is your measure now about the remarks that Chairman Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, made to the audience? Because there were moments in there, it seemed as if he was acknowledging we're in recovery and we no longer need zero interest rates forever. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, I think you're right. I think we're at an inflection point, and that is indeed the message really from Jay Powell. And I give him some credit for the fact that the markets didn't just utterly fall apart when they heard that indeed they may start tapering their bond buying program later this year, because that's basically the upshot of all this. And if you go back 6 months, no one thought that was going to happen. Everyone thought the Federal Reserve would continue to buy $120 billion worth of bonds month after month, sort of in perpetuity, because the entire country, or at least an awful lot of the economists and analysts watching things, sort of thought that the economy was so depressed. That's why we needed $1.9 trillion of new spending approved in March. You know, the economy was not going to recover. Remember, Biden kept talking about the long, dark winter and so forth and so on. The answer is the economy was booming when Biden took office. We had real growth of 6% plus in the first quarter, which, of course, accelerated into the second quarter. So here we are. Where are we now? It's actually beginning to taper off a little bit. Why? Because, yeah, we've got the Delta variant making people, again, concerned about being out in crowds, going out to eat. It's not the kind of response we had last winter when people really hunkered down. If you look at the Apple Mobility Index, it has wobbled. There certainly are some people who are not comfortable now going to a movie theater. There's some surveys that are done by one of the firms that whose work I follow that show comfort level with different things. And whereas it was straight up all through, I'd say, June, now, you know, we've seen a real reversal. Again, like movie theaters, you know, if maybe 60% of the people were comfortable with that in June, now it's like 10%. I mean, there's been a real backup. Why? Because, you know, cases are up. Cases are almost back to last winter's level. And also hospitalizations have hooked up, as have deaths, unfortunately. Not certainly anywhere close to the levels of the wintertime, but a pretty alarming turnaround when all of us thought it was kind of behind us. And I think I think the nation now is being gripped by uncertainty about where this goes. People are very concerned about the high incidence of breakthrough infections, the increasing talk about how you need another shot, and frankly, the fact that kids seem more vulnerable to the Delta variant than they were to the first round of COVID-19. I think if you go back to March or February, an awful lot of people, including myself, were very comfortable letting kids do anything pretty much because they weren't getting sick. Now, the numbers are worse. And it really throws into jeopardy, what does school look like? What does school reopening look like? So it's very discouraging, I think. We've seen that in the consumer sentiment numbers, which are just horrible, having been very elevated. Now they've collapsed back to, you know, levels we haven't seen in more than a decade, that we haven't seen really since the financial recession. Everyone is very concerned about what all this means. And yet, there are 9 million jobs available, and the economy continues to grow at a very fast clip, faster than normal. And there really doesn't seem to be any particular reason to think that's going to change. A couple of other things I would note, though. Inflation is something that is definitely on,
I have to read this because Schadenfreude, we get to have it. Okay, fine. The Washington, the White House more than doubled its forecast for annual inflation. This is within days of now. In new projections just released, as supply chain disruptions, immediately the explanation, supply chain disruptions stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic continue to put pressure on prices. Liz, doubled. How long have you and I been whispering that this temporary inflation is mighty, not temporary? And finally, are we going to take this White House then as a leader or a follower? Are they just simply our audience listening to us, Liz, and weeks later they agree with us? How to regard this?
Well, I think the first thing is it's extremely politically dangerous for Joe Biden and for the Democrats because, yes, the White House has now come out with an estimate of inflation this year of 4.8%, which is more than double what they had been looking for, and by the way, more than double what the Federal Reserve is supposed to be targeting as the way of ongoing inflation. The Fed has said 2% is too low. Maybe we're going to entertain something around 2.5. Well, 4.8 is where we are. And guess what? Most of the information I'm getting now and looking at suggests it is not going to let up anytime soon, because of partly those supply chain interruptions that I'm sure you read. I think the Journal or someone had a story today, maybe Bloomberg. Those supply chain disruptions are only getting worse.
Right.
You would think by now that a lot of things would have come together, that companies would have expanded their production, et cetera, et cetera. It isn't happening. And it's kind of a it's sort of a mystery, honestly, why there hasn't been greater progress.
Let me give you a couple of details that dots on the plot. I've seen photographs of the Long Beach port where the container ships come in. The truck lines are empty. There are not enough truck drivers in Long Beach to meet the demand from the container ships. I go to a report from London where the shelves of grocery stores are half empty because there are not enough lorry drivers to deliver the food to the markets. Just two little dots on the map, Long Beach, California, and London, United Kingdom, suggest that nothing about the supply chain is easy to solve, and once it gets out of order, it stays that way for a long time. I've heard dates into 23 for the supply chain, Liz, if it ever recovers.
Well, there are industries like semiconductors where that's probably optimistic, and that's one of the big chokeholds. But to your other point, shipping is horrifying right now. People can't even buy the pallets they need to load things on. And it's not just our docks that are way backed up or our trucks. Same thing happened in China recently, in that case because they closed stuff down because of an outbreak of COVID. So, you know, it's just a lot of moving pieces, and they're not all moving in the right direction. I don't know if there's anything that our government should be doing to help this logjam of shipping. People are now talking about shortages possibly plaguing the Christmas season. That would really be bad news for an awful lot of companies that rely on the holidays for, you know, up to half of their sales. But it is kind of stunning to me that, you know, a year ago, remember, we're all out of toilet paper and paper towels, but now this spectrum of goods that are in short supply is all over the place,
and the price of
I don't see it getting better.
The price of containers have skyrocketed in the Pacific.
Oh,
run.
Totally.
And so
only
people who can offset the prices are bidding on those containers.
Well, and that is part and parcel of why the whole chatter about transitory inflation, it just isn't happening that way, because people are having to pay up to get truck drivers, having to pay up to get shipments of goods, and all of these things are becoming embedded. I mean, you know, it may be that the rate of price increases slows a year from now, but prices will have gone up substantially. And again, it's politically very bad news for Democrats, because in polling, Americans are aware that spending too much money, having too much excess liquidity pumped into the system by the Federal Reserve, is partly to blame for the fact that wages and incomes are going up at a high rate, 1%, in other words, 12% nominal rate last month, but prices of goods and services are also going up at a very high rate. And so a great many people are seeing their actual disposable income eaten up by those increased prices. So this is I think it's a very strange time. The stock market continues to say, what me worry, markets hitting new highs all the time, because earnings are hugely up in the current quarter and last quarter. You do begin to wonder, though, whether there will be some sorting out. I do remember the last time we had a real inflation surge, some companies can pass along prices and some companies cannot. And that is the kind of analysis that I think that will begin to sort of weed out the companies that are going to be hurt by this phenomenon and others which will not be. But that is yet to come. Right
and
now,
here come
investors
the new,
are happy.
Liz, I just mentioned, here come the new entitlements. They're just hitting now. The child tax credit and more with the new $1 trillion package that is coming this fall. More of that.
Yeah.
And the puzzle here for investors, this, you know, you can be anything. You could be in a Londoner investing in our market and care about this. It's not partisan. If the White House missed by 100% the inflation we were seeing all the time, we were not quiet about it. If it missed by 100%, what does the future look like, Liz? Who to rely upon? I guess the answer is you. We have to rely on.
I do find it kind of stunning, to tell you the truth, that the Treasury and the Fed have been so behind the eight ball in anticipating what all this means. And look, I mean, they're looking at a lot of different data and so forth, but the Fed in particular follows the data, right? And when you have consumers sitting on $2.5 trillion of excess savings and emboldened by a gigantic surge in consumer net worth because of higher stock prices and home prices, wouldn't you at least give some credence to the idea that consumer spending is going to be blowout numbers and that might result in higher prices, particularly with all these supply chain issues that we've been talking about? I really think they were caught flat-footed on all this. Now, frankly, I mean, as the subject of Jay Powell's renomination comes up, or reappointment, frankly, it seems to me someone should question him about that. I mean, wasn't there a moment in the last year where he might have said to Congress, no, we really don't need more fiscal stimulus. We're doing our job. There's plenty of liquidity and consumers are really ready to spend. We know the economy is going to do well. You're just going to add fuel to the fire. We don't need it and it will cause price inflation. But they never did that.
Liz Peek, she writes a column for The Hill. She's a columnist at Fox News. She's much on Fox Business. We're going to turn to the tragedy in Kabul, which Liz and I lived through as young people. But at that time, it was the tragedy of Saigon. What does this portend? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.